This is Joel, the beginning of the book of Joel. We finished the book of Isaiah yesterday. So Joel chapter 1, verse 1. The word of Jehovah that came through Joel, son of Pethuel. In the Word Green version, also the name Joel is translated, Jehovah is his God. And the name of the father of Joel, Pethuel, is translated, enlarged of God. And that's our daily scripture for today from the Word Green version of 2003. Little children. And so we continue with our study of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, our article, which in chapter 8, verse 8 now, commences with a photograph of a bust of Aristotle, which was a marble Roman copy after a Greek bronze, the original by Lysippos, the Greek bronze, from 330 BC. The alabaster mantle shown in the photo is a modern addition. We can see that the alabaster is a much darker color, a browner color, than the marble, which is rather white. So chapter 8, paragraph 8 now of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, as we begin reading. Evidence of truly ancient chariot vehicles has been found. Reference 1 refers to excavations east of the Ural Mountains, revealing traces of the first two-wheeled high-performance vehicles between approximately 2000 and 1500 BCE. I don't know if that link is working. I'm not going to trust it. The problem with archaeology and earth science is that the earth itself does undergo some upheaval and rearrangement. The wisdom of God far surpasses men's knowledge of matters such as these. The Bible documenting raising of mountains. And this is a quote from Psalm, as we look below, Psalm 104, which I mentioned earlier. I had accidentally opened to that very psalm in my first of a number of random places where I looked the other day in the Bible as I was searching, and eventually found James 4:1. But Psalm 104 says, O Jehovah my God, you have proved very great. Verse 3, walking upon the wings of the wind. Verse 6, the waters were standing above the very mountains. Verse 8, mountains proceeded to ascend, valley plains proceeded to descend to the place that you have founded for them. An excerpt of several verses from Psalm 104 in the 1984 reference version of the New World Translation, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Jehovah knows that the reasonings of wise ones are futile. Still, scientists may accept the deluge as a global event. All Christians undergo sufferings because of having faith. We rejoice in our sufferings for Christ, and God helps us. Whatever our choices may be, to us they do appear as true. But Jehovah knows hearts, which we ourselves may not know. Scientific theories depend upon the assumptions they make, something that I, as a scientist, know because I studied. I now realize that university education is often devoid of anything spiritual, and that it causes a lot of suffering. This is not to overgeneralize, but faith is not in us all. Perhaps it is worth mentioning that in a global event such as the deluge, the Earth's landscape was altered somewhat, and some mountains or valleys may have been formed during or after the flood, which is not expected to occur again. That concludes paragraph 8, verse 8 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, for today, which was our study paragraph for today. And we now have a lot of time left. We've got 27 minutes, just about 26 and a half minutes or so left. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Well, I think I do have some idea. I think that the U.S. is attempting a hostile takeover of Canada and Mexico, both, by proposing this 25% tariff on all goods sold in the U.S. from either Canada or Mexico. The elected, but not yet serving, government of the U.S. is proposing to take over Mexico and Canada and bring them under its control, knowing that it has the greater population or the greater, you know, influence and the greater supposedly the greater power than either Canada or Mexico. And Mexico is, according to Mexico, from what I understand, the largest trading partner with the U.S. in the world. And so Mexico feels that they in that country have a lot of bargaining power, and that they can, they feel, do something, conducting a trade war with the U.S. by raising or imposing their own tariff upon U.S. goods sold in Mexico, which is currently, that would just be the equivalent of a pointless sort of tariff if it was done both ways. What would be the point of that? It would just be to discourage all sales of goods between those two countries, and it would encourage sales of goods between any other country and either of those countries if there weren't tariffs between those other countries. Now, China, the U.S. is also proposing to have a tariff with China, but I believe it's probably 10%, not 25%. But they, I mean, the U.S. can change these numbers whenever they want. They can decide to impose them, raise them, lower them, eliminate them, whatever they decide. They can decide that. And so I don't think that we're in a position, or I don't think we should be influenced by anything they do, because they can simply change what they say they're going to do now. They can simply change it at a moment's notice. They can simply, for whatever reason, whether the current president-elect, perhaps something let's say somebody's situation changes and maybe the current president-elect is no longer the one in office. And if he's not the one in office, then the tariff could change again. So, or it could change even with the current president-elect if he so chose to change it. So I don't think we should be influenced by what they're doing or think that we have any ability to predict what they're going to do. I don't think we should think that way. And I'm just realizing that right now as we're speaking. I didn't think of this before. But that seems very clear to me, that there's no way we can assume that what they're saying is going to be the truth. But, you know, if there is going to be a tariff, exactly is what they're saying. I mean, they're saying perhaps that we can avoid the tariff if we do certain things. But I'm not sure that we should acquiesce, because if we think that we're going to be able to unless we want to be completely controlled and have them control us in everything, then we should not acquiesce. We can't acquiesce to their demands, because if we acquiesce in one thing, then we'd have to acquiesce in the next, and the next, and the next. They could continue making demands. Ultimatums cannot be things we respond to, because that's what terrorists do. And this is a hostile takeover attempt. Clearly, is what it is. It's a hostile takeover attempt. Because we didn't ask to have the U.S. come and make us the 51st state of the United States, and yet that's what has been mentioned. That actually came about as one of the ways to resolve the current situation, is to make Canada the 51st state of the U.S. So since we didn't ask for that, that's considered the definition of hostile takeover. It's a hostile takeover attempt. So just like in the case of somebody who wants to buy or tries to buy another company without that company being offered for sale, or without that company wanting to sell themselves, you know, sell the company. So what it comes down to is, do you want to be, or do you not want to be, a servant who does, and not even a servant, it's not even a servant, it's somebody who's, it's extortion. If somebody says, well, you do this or I'll do that, that's extortion. That's, and it's even more than hostile, it's criminal, because it's extortion. It's not friendly, it's definitely, if it's a takeover attempt, which it clearly is, then it's hostile. And it's also criminal, because it's extortion. So if you give in to, for example, kidnappers always ask for a ransom. If you give in to their demands for a ransom, well, that doesn't set a good precedent, does it, for anything in the future? So those are my thoughts on that particular situation. It's so wrong, and it's also wrong to assume that God cannot make things work out for the best if we stick to what we know is right, because he can, Jehovah can make things work out for the best without us having to acquiesce to extortion. And, you know, to presume on our part, for us to presume that a 25% tariff is going to destroy our country, that's a very presumptuous thing. And yet, it's from what I hear, something that was mentioned by the appointed minister for our country. So I find that to be extremely negatively biased and relying too much on human wisdom and not on the wisdom of Jehovah, the true God, who can do all things. He can create anything. He can cause the trade that we have with other countries to vastly increase if he wants. He can do that. Or he can cause anything. I mean, we don't need to presume to know what it is that he's going to do. But for us to put our faith in some large country that's corrupt, which the U.S. is definitely corrupt because they're large. Any large entity is more corrupt than a smaller one. And for us to put our faith in a larger entity of humans rather than in the true God is a, well, it's a mistake, quite clearly, because the true God is far more powerful than that. And he can make us flourish just by having us finally be free of the influence of that corrupt large country, under whose influence we have been imprisoned for a very long time. So this is, in addition to being a troubling situation, it's also our opportunity for freedom and a huge opportunity for a new future for our country that's independent of this large, arrogant institution that is called the United States of America. Very arrogant country. It always has been, as far as I've ever known, as long as I've been alive. They've always been overbearing towards their neighbors, and since we are one of their closest neighbors, and we're not as big as Mexico in population, we've always been subject to their arrogant attitude, you know, we've always been the victim of that. Let's see what I can do here. Let me see what I can do here. Here it is. Yeah. Mexico population. 128 million in Mexico. Which is, Canada's about, I thought, 30 million or something, a little, perhaps more than that. 40, yeah. It's gone up. It wasn't that long ago, Canada was 30 million. Now 40. Mexico, 128 million, and the United States, 334 million. So not quite three times what Mexico is. But Mexico is, of course, you know, much larger than Canada. 129 almost million in Mexico. So why would Canada? I don't understand. If we can't sell our goods in the U.S. without a 25% tariff, then that means we won't be able to make as much money because the goods won't sell at the higher price. So we will be bringing in less capital, or less money from the sale of goods in the U.S. That's what that means. But the other thing is we have hundreds of billions of dollars. I think some people are saying even more if you consider both-way trade. It's more than hundreds of billions if you consider both directions, buying and selling across the border between Canada and the U.S. But it's at least many hundreds of billions. So if we just consider one-way trade, it's something like $400 or $300 billion that we're selling in the U.S., which if we sold none of that, we'd be quite poor, right? But also, if we are also buying that much from the U.S., if we could stop buying the goods from the U.S., there's no reason if we can buy nowadays from China, Germany, and Europe, all these places, Japan, from which we're not really buying much, but we could be buying a lot. And by the way, the prices in Japan are quite reasonable. It's just that, there have to be a way to trade with Japan. If I were to buy from Japan right now, I'd have to pay duty if I buy more than a certain amount of goods. And the duty is not that bad. It's maybe 10% or something. But it depends on what type of goods, I believe, too. The duties can be variable. I don't know what they all are. But I bought some leatherworking goods, and it was something like 8 or 10% duty. Far bigger was the tax that I had to pay, seems to me. So maybe it was less duty than that. Might have even been 5% duty. It wasn't a lot of duty compared to the tax. But I didn't get charged any duty or tax when I bought this an amount, that was much less than, what was it? It was $80 Canadian, roughly. I didn't have to pay duty or tax on that from Japan. But, the only difference is the shipping, right? In the U.S., they can send trucks. We can send trucks across the border back and forth. But that's not really that great either. But the environment, is it? But any more so than ships going across the ocean or airplanes flying to bring us airmail, groceries and things from South America. A lot of it, I believe, is air transport for a lot of the fresh groceries, because ships would be too slow. It wouldn't be fresh, right? So a lot of the fresh fruits must be delivered by air transport, I believe, nowadays, from all these countries, Africa, South Africa particularly, for things like oranges and all sorts of things from Central and South America, these pineapples and things, and blueberries from South America, all sorts of things. By the way, blueberries. Okay, so let's conclude our topic, and then we can talk about food a little bit, I think. What it means is, if we weren't buying any goods from the U.S., they'd be poorer by several hundred billion also. So it's up to them, really, if they want to give up our business. They can do that if they want to put a tariff on our goods. We could consider putting in an equal tariff, but on their goods, or there's no reason why we couldn't consider that. But there are many possibilities, though. Another one would be, we could voluntarily stop buying American goods. And if we did that, then what would happen to the U.S.? Are they capable of exercising their willpower not to buy Canadian goods? Or who's got more willpower? Is it a large, huge, huge country compared to ours? Or a smaller group such as Canadians are, whose very future is threatened if we don't exercise self-control? So who's got more discipline there, us or we or they? Who is it? Who's got more discipline? That's a valid question. So that concludes that topic. But I want to talk about blueberries, because I've started taking a blueberry supplement recently, and I think it's phenomenal. I think blueberries, for the eyes. For the eyes, I think blueberries are phenomenal. And my arthritis in my thumb, the swelling has not gone down. It's a huge bump. Swelling's not gone down much, but, and it is sore when I press on it, yeah. But not as sore as it was, and it's not as inhibited. I think it's not as painful to move it. And it's just, the pain is only really when I bend it all the way down. But that's something I need to consider more, about what foods I can either avoid or consume and see, but it seems to have gotten better already by stopping the licorice that I was eating and avoiding the rye bread right now, but I'm not sure the rye bread was causing anything, though. So I might continue, but I don't want to resume eating that until I get a more definite message that I can interpret as being from God, you know, as to what I should or shouldn't do on that. So, coming back to the topic of blueberries, it's a really remarkably good food for the eyes. Why is that so? That is light colored, isn't it? Okay, that's better. Yeah, so blueberries for the eyes. It has... What do blueberries have in them? You know, let's see. Let's go back. Yeah, there's this particular supplement. What has it got in it? Macular degeneration is one of the things that blueberries are supposed to help prevent. Oh yeah, it's got bilberry and lutein. See that? Lutein is the other thing that it has, right? It's natural. It's part of what. So the bilberry fruit extract is present there, and lutein in the quantity of 5 milligrams per. Oh, it's not letting me show that. Hang on a sec. There we go. 5 milligrams per tablet. And each of these tablets, you take 2 of them a day, so each of them having 5 milligrams of lutein would be a total of 10. I was taking about 15 milligrams of lutein per day prior to that because I was taking a different supplement. But this is also the bilberry fruit, which is very closely related to blueberry. It's bilberry, different spelling, but closely related to the blueberry plant, with a little more tartness, I understand. But this is, it's like blueberries, so we're considering, it's called a blueberry supplement here. Blueberry Strong, it's called, this particular supplement. But I'm sure there are lots of these supplements out there. But as soon as I started taking this, I thought it did make a difference with my eyesight immediately. And the problem I've been having has been with floaters in my eyes. So I don't know. What I did was research what the studies were. They had these. You can also just eat blueberries. You can get. I don't like freeze drying. I don't know. I just don't like freeze drying. It seems like it's processing too much, but there's also dried blueberries you can get. You can't on Amazon, you can't buy fresh blueberries, but you can buy fresh blueberries at the supermarket if you want. But you can get these extracts, like this one that we just looked at. Yupik, yeah, dried. I mean, blueberry extract, that's what we could look at, right? A lot of companies sell this kind of thing, I believe. Blueberry extract, there's one. Bold blueberry extract, that's one particular one. Blueberry extract powder is another one. And there's another blueberry extract. Wow. See, it's very popular because it's just very good for you. Blueberries are good for you. There's another one there. And the one that we looked at also. But what's this one? Right. There's one there. Bilberry extract. So, in the case of the extract that I was looking at, that we were looking at just now, they added the lutein. That was an additional additive? Is that what we call it? Additive. It sounds, it's an adjective and a noun, right? But lutein was added. It wasn't contained in the blueberries themselves, I don't believe. That's why they had to mention it separately. Let's take a look at, okay. What are sources, what are the food sources of lutein? There might be lutein in the blueberries, actually. We'll see. Dark leafy greens and berries. Yeah. Okay, we're going to say, okay, how much lutein in blueberries? I think there's quite a bit. Yeah. I think I did look this up. But they may have added extra lutein. That's what they may have added. How much lutein in blueberries? Yeah, there's only 1.53 milligrams of lutein per 100 grams, you see. Of berries. Now, if we look at that supplement, yeah. And you can find out perhaps how many grams of blueberries. Let's go back to our history. Click on that again. How many grams of blueberries are used? Okay. Milligrams. The extract. There it is. It's 5 to 1. See, it's a 5 to 1 extract, so that means 2,000 milligrams were used to obtain 400 milligrams of extract. Right? So each capsule contained 2,000 milligrams. So that's 20 times 100. Isn't it? No, that's only 2 grams. Sorry, 2,000 milligrams is only 2 grams. It was 1.5 per 100 grams. Milligrams per 100 grams. So they had to add extra lutein to get up to 5 milligrams because there would only be 2 grams, which would be far less than, you know, less than 100, which only had 1.5. There'd be negligible amount of lutein. So they've added extra lutein. That's it for today. It's December 3rd, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 14:22 hours North American, Canadian Eastern Time. And I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. This is Sissy. This is Star saying bye for now. Thank you so much for listening and watching.